of this microphone here. Right now this microphone is approximately 3 feet away from my mouth. I don't know if this will give any better results than holding it in my hand or not. Let's see.
Alright, I won't be so smart this time.
Alright, Ida Rose, what was your mother's name?
My mother's name was Zinah Charlotte Clarkson.
And who did she marry?
Ernest Fountain Langford.
Do you know what year they were married?
You're asking you're closed-ended questions, and you're supposed to ask open-ended questions, which lead to discussion and don't have a definite answer.
Well, we're just trying out this thing to see if it works.
I know, and on all my interviews.
Many of the parents went to the other extremes and had extremely high expectations of their children. One, Thomas Dabney, who was a Mississippi planter, this is a quotation from his daughter,
desired that his children excel in everything and was proportionally disappointed when they failed. In fact, the eldest son of Thomas Dabney felt such pressure that he eventually broke under this. He lost his physical health, and literally as he was dying, you can see this in an emblematic scene that shows up in his sister's book, Susan Dabney Sneed's book, entitled Memorial to the Southern Planter. She describes his very wrenching deathbed scene.
Since none of you heard of Drunken White, I'm not sure that it necessarily will be. Okay, an essay is essentially a written composition on a certain topic. And what you are going to do, some of these essays will lend themselves to writing according to a thesis, and others will not. But if possible, when I ask you to explore a thesis, you will have in the first paragraph will be your introduction. You all remember all this, right? Okay, this is the paragraph in which you set out your thesis, what you are trying to prove. Okay? And somewhere, maybe in your outline, you might even want to say, this is what I'm going to prove. And through these succeeding paragraphs, you are going to prove what you have stated in your thesis. For example, if I asked you to talk about Welter's article on the cult of true womanhood, and you could say the cult of true womanhood was restricting to women because of, or it was liberating to women, or it was a little of each. Okay? Whatever your thesis is here. And then through the succeeding paragraphs, you in a logical sequence develop your arguments so at the conclusion of this, all the reader can say is, yes, by golly, I agree with you. Because you have reasoned this so well, you have put one point directly after another and have led up to a strong conclusion at the end. Okay? That means that you have to know an awful lot when you're coming into the test. That means if you have just sort of skimmed the reading and you have sort of skimmed your notes, you're not going to have enough knowledge to do well on the test. But if you've studied well, you can handle it. Okay, people before you have taken this test and done well. Okay, you can do well as also.
What happened to them after they took the test?
What happened to them afterwards? They're still walking around. They're still mobile. Still functional. Yeah.
Will you be asking questions on specific articles, or
there'll be more general questions? Now, Welter is one article that you should know. I'll make sure that all of you know Welter. As I told you before, if you don't read any other article, you ought to read that one. That is one of the classics, yeah.
Do you know Do you want us to be able to name the author of, if we're going to take something specifically out of a section of our reading, to know the author that wrote that, so that we can't just say out of the readings we do
the it would be very impressive if you could say Demas says as Demas has stated, or as Morgan has stated, or Morgan has stated in contradiction to Demas, and then I really know that you know what you're talking about. If it, they indeed have said that, of course. But what I want you to do is to get not only looking at the facts, because remember, and I always have to put facts in quotation marks, because historians are constantly reevaluating what the facts are and reinterpreting. And part of what you're doing is also looking at historians' interpretations of these things. And what I'm giving you is an interpretation. You may take somebody else's class on family history in graduate school, and you may say, Professor Stovall told me all wrong. It is simply because different historians have different ideas on the past, and that's good. But it's going to give you a feeling of probably the ground is shaking a little bit under your feet. You want some more substance. But with a social scientist, you are not going to get that total firm foundation. Things are constantly up for review. They're new interpretations. And so that's one reason why it's helpful to know what Demas said. Okay, for example, what do you associate with Demas? When you say Demas, what did he write on, first of all?
Plymouth Colony.
All right, Plymouth Colony. Of the assignments that I gave you, what specific things, what are his specific contributions? Okay, what about childbearing?
About childbearing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has to say something about
you're
it.
You're a resident
right?
expert, come on, Dan.
Pardon?
So you're the resident expert on Demas, let's hear it.
Oh, I don't know about that. Look at me. I just came to listen to that. I didn't come to think.
Was Demas the one that had that theory that people were so cramped together that they took
exactly.
the violence out of their neighbors but lived pretty tranquil at home?
Yes. Okay. You should definitely associate that with Demas. Okay. He is one of the first ones to look at the whole idea of domestic architecture and how that influences family life.
He also looked at like domestic violence a little bit too.
Yes.
So that's one of his arguments. They talked about whippings and beating and all kinds of fun stuff. And some childbearing practices. I believe it was him that got into the stuff about being really hard on the kids, caused them to sort of took on a gloomy atmosphere. The whole place sort of took on a gloomy atmosphere because of the harsh religious connotation society which they lived in. So the children were raised very strictly, and again that led to people taking out their violence and whatnot in different ways.
Okay.
It's like, because we brought in our study group one time looking for the poetry in the American Families, or that home book, Scott and Lucy. In there, the poetry is very blatant and out. I mean, you know, these people, they don't pull back any punches. I mean, they're very open sexual type stuff, and maybe that was written as an outlet under such a strict society. They wrote this poetry is a way to be very open and frank under a very strict society.
Mm-hmm. Partly, but of course we talked about that's true as long as sex was outside the family, but inside the family it was good. You need to read, not for this class necessarily, but just for general enlightenment. Edmund Morgan has an article entitled The Puritans and Sex. Essentially, he says the Puritans were not nearly so puritanical as we think they were. He essentially says they were nice, healthy people. But he has to go through this long article proving this, because we have assumed that they weren't. Okay.
I was just going to say this. He talked about relationship, husband-wife relationship,
mm-hmm.
and child relationships to them as well. But he postulated that something that I didn't pick up as much in class, and that was that even in the Plymouth Colony, coming over from England, the women got quite a bit more rights with respect to what they had in England.
Mm-hmm.
And outlined several different things, and they could have a certain kind of contracts that their names with some of them were allowed to open, given licenses for inns and taverns on their own, and those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the sort of thing I want you to remember from this, okay? Just that sort of thing, basic ideas associated with each person, all right? This is going to seem kind of overwhelming, but you can do it. You really can. Okay. And what you need to do is just go back through your notes, the things that you've underlined, the notes that you've taken, and say, okay, this goes under Demas, this goes under Morgan. And you get some so that you associate the two. Okay? All right, so what you're doing in this essay, you're starting out with a good, strong introduction. And I hope that all of you will have a good, strong introductory paragraph giving me your thesis, giving me whatever you're trying to prove here. And then the succeeding paragraphs of the body of this thing, I would say you need at least three paragraphs to develop anything, because any argument would need at least three supporting points here. Sort of like a stool. To make something balanced, you need at least three points. One can be, if you just have one point to prove this, someone can say, well, one point does not prove anything. As my English teacher used to say, one robin does not a spring make. Okay? So one point is not really strong. Two can be a coincidence, but by the time you get three, you're assuming that you're at least finding something here. Now, of course, it is very, very possible for you to use three outlandish examples that are not representative of anything. But the chances are that you will be finding something that is part of a pattern. And that is the point here, is to say, this is true. You wanted, if I gave you Morgan's thesis that parents sent away their children as apprentices because they were afraid of loving them too much and becoming too emotionally involved, if I said, do you agree or disagree with this statement? Okay, and if you agreed with it, then you give me three supporting ideas pulled out of maybe Morgan's stuff, out of Demas's stuff, out of the primary stuff, saying this is true because of this, or I disagree with this totally because of this. Okay?
That's just for the thesis?
Yeah, this is for your thesis, and then this is for your body.
Okay,
so you take one point and write a paragraph about it. Take another point, write a paragraph about it. Take a third point, write a paragraph about it. And then you have a nice little conclusion, which is another paragraph. Okay, this is a paragraph, 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 conclusion. Short paragraph, you're done, go on to the next essay.
That's going to fill 5 pages of it, going to be short little paragraphs, and long paragraphs.
Well, you don't have to, you don't have to confine yourself to three, but a minimum here. If you can get 5 and 6, then I'll be really impressed. But you don't you have to realize you're under, and I realize also you're under time limitations. You cannot write every single thing that you've learned. But the important thing is to go for the large thing first, then supported by specifics. But never leave it just at the large level. I need to see that you've done the reading and that you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Is that double space?
It doesn't matter. However you want to write it. I would prefer, however, that you did use a pen just because it doesn't smear quite so badly as pencil, but if you have pencil, we'll take that. Essentially, I don't care about that sort of thing. I'm caring about what you're saying. I don't care if your blue book is large or small, or if one is large and one is small. Just stick them together, okay? So that sort of detail is irrelevant.
Did you want one essay in one blue book? You said one is
small
and
large. Shall I throw this at you? But it's one of the irrelevant details that I don't care about.
Should we bring two? I guess that's my question. Do you think we'll need three?
You probably won't, but just if it gives you a feeling of security, bring two. You can always save it for the final.
Do I need two?
All that sort of thing is, you may want to bring two. You will not need that unless you are extremely verbose. Yes. Okay? All right, now, do you have questions basically on what I expect as far as the essay is concerned?
Yes.
Well, this really is. I mean, you are, in essence, going to talk about what you have learned and what you've thought about. And I'm not going to ask you to parrot back things. I want you to have filtered it through your brain. I want you to come up with some ideas of your own. And I don't want to just read my own notes parroted back to me. I know what I said. Now I want to know what you think about it and how this all fits. Okay? All right, questions about the essay?
this might be an illness, stupid question, but what if we have an argument that you disagree with, but it is totally
substantiated?
If you substantiate it well, okay, that means that you give me a very, very strong argument, I will probably give you a good grade.
Like a male chauvinist pig.
I'm not sure that they can be substantiated. No, but seriously, I don't expect you all to be little clones of me. In fact, that is the last thing I want, is to send out 30 little clones of me. I want you to be your own person with your own ideas, but make sure that, don't take that to extremes. Don't give me something that's totally off the wall. But I can remember at least in one case, and this was a person who wrote a paper for me, and I totally disagreed with her thesis, but she wrote an excellent paper and she got an A. So it's possible.
She's jealous. But what happens if something in the history that you disagree with, you can't make an appeal to authority, but you can make an appeal to reason, if you know what I mean. Let's say, for instance, that I decide that Demas and all those guys were wrong about Plymouth Colony, that really that they were liberal and okay, well, since we haven't read anything that really backs up my point of view, okay,
but
I can't make an appeal to authority.
I can't say,
well, Demas said this. But if I can appeal to reason and reason that out and say, well, you know, here's the reasons that I believe that Demas was wrong,
it would be much more helpful if you had examined the records yourself and then had said that he is wrong. I would be much more likely to believe you than if you were just looking at it. Now, if you see problems in his reasoning, that's one thing. And you are objecting to it just on the basis of his argument and his reasoning as the data that he presents.
But drawing from that same data for your reason.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. But
sure.
If you're criticizing this not having seen the rest of the data, and you're criticizing it on other grounds, then there's some real problems. But if you're just criticizing his reasoning given the data that he's presenting.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair, as long as you know on what ground you're working. But make sure that you're on fairly firm ground.
So you might know, sir, that ain't his view.
Okay, any other questions? Okay, you've got a week, good luck, study hard. I know it's homecoming, but you probably ought to put in a few hours anyway this weekend.
A couple hours of hard work.
Hello, Dolly.